Well, this subject I'm preaching on tonight fits everybody. Every single person in this building, this message will fit. Sometimes you try your best to retrofit something to get to everybody, but it's hard to do that. But this absolutely does fit everybody in this auditorium tonight, as well as everyone who is listening by radio. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, nobody had to prove to me that I was a sinner. How about you? I met folks that you have to get them lost before you can get them saved, but I wasn't that way, and I knew that I was a sinner. And a lot of you would say the very same thing, that when you heard the gospel, you knew that you needed help. You knew that you needed the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and save you and make you ready for heaven. But yet, after we're saved and born again, after we have the wonderful fruit of the Spirit in our life, we have to battle lifelong with temptation. Now, if you agree with that, would you say amen?
Amen?
Is there anybody in here tonight that's never tempted? Well, I was right after all. Amen? Every one of us go through this life, now that we're saved and born again, going through multitudes of temptations. And you know, Satan don't tempt me with the same things he used to tempt me with. As I've got older, he's tempted me with other things. Do you know Satan knows the weakest thing in your life? The thing that you hold in your heart and in your mind that you think is secret, Satan knows your weakness. And Satan will act upon that. Now, I've titled this, How to Win Over Temptation. And I believe every word that I'm going to share with you. And I believe this will work if you remember and apply it to your life. And after all, it's the Word of God. I want you to look at verse 13, and I want us to look at the first part of that verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, that verse tells me that every single one of us are tempted in common ways. I cannot ever go to the pastor and say, Pastor, I'm being tempted like no one else has ever been tempted. If I say that, that's a lie. The Bible says we're all tempted in the common way. Roman numeral number one tonight, Satan presents the test. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Satan does his best to tempt you and me. Would you say every day of your life you're tempted in one way or another? Would you all agree with that? You know, we're all tempted in a variety of ways. Somebody makes a mistake at the cash register. You realize it, and you think, oh, well, they can afford it, and walk out. You see, you give in to the temptation of Satan. And I was thinking about this message tonight, Pastor, when you was preaching on tithing this morning. And Pastor is pouring his heart out. And I told my wife in the car, we drove down to Tiffin after the service, and I said, I was thrilled that Pastor could preach that message with the church being over in the budget. And already over $4,000 over this month already. You know, some preachers would be real shy about preaching on money or even mentioning that, afraid some folks would say, well, they got plenty of money. Ain't no sense me giving mine. But you see, that's not his aim. His aim was for you to get the same blessings so many of us others are blessed with by tithing. And I'll guarantee you, old Satan was working hard in and around the pews this morning with folks who don't tithe, who was thinking about, well, maybe I should do this. Maybe it's time I do this. And Satan then got you to do the math in your head, how much you'd have to give out each week. And then you know what Satan said after he did the math for you? You can't do it. You can't do it. Now, I'm not going to ask somebody to raise their hand, but I'll guarantee you that happened in this auditorium this morning. People were convicted about tithing and knew they ought to tithe, they ought to begin to tithe, but they left here defeated because they give in to the temptation of Satan. Now, I'm not preaching on tithing tonight, but I had to park here for a minute. Is that okay? Now, I'm not chasing a rabbit. I'm just throwing in here my message and how I believe what I'm preaching went on here this morning. And I love the fact of what preacher preached, that things last longer. Amen? Your tires last longer. Appliances last. You know, I never will forget this. I'll use one illustration. I'll move on. And it was Sharon Patton's brother, Dean was his name, and at one time he was a heating and cooling man here at the church. And he did mine as well. And my son and his wife and kids was down for the state of New York. It was in the summer, and we was all sleeping in our house, you know. And we woke up middle of the night, and it was hot. Why is it hot? Well, it's hot because the air conditioner quit working. So I called Dean, and he come out the next day, and he come out, and he hooked up everything to the compressor and checked the Freon, and it was full of Freon. There wasn't no leaks, and I was out there watching his every move. Of course, I'm being folksy with him. He said, "I got awful bad news for you." I said, "Uh-oh, here it comes," and I knew what he was going to say. "Your compressor's shot. Your compressor's not working." And I ask a question to that I knew the answer to before I ask it. "Is that very expensive?" He said, "Oh, I'm afraid it is, you know. That could be, you know, $1,800, $2,000 or so." While we're standing there talking, it kicked on. The compressor started working. And I'll tell you, I was standing there rejoicing. The thing was working. Hot air was blowing. I run in the house. It's working. I run back out. You ought to see me kicking up my heels. Amen? And Dean says, "You know, I've seen that before, but it's rare." He said, "Now, it may only run a day or so. And it might quit now. I don't know how long it'll run." He said, "But it wasn't working." He said, "I thought, sure, it was shot. It wasn't working at all. And I couldn't find anything wrong except the compressor was shot." It's still running, folks. That's been 2 or 3 years ago. And you see, I believe with all my heart, God started that compressor up. Now, you can go ahead and just say whatever you want. "Well, that was just an accident. Those things happen." You go ahead and think what you want. I won't argue with you. You'll never convince me. But God started that compressor up. God says, "I want to show you something, Wayne Mott. You're faithful in tithing. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to start it back up again." Amen? And Lord, keep it running. Amen. Just keep it running. Amen. But I believe that. You know, I really believe that with all my heart. So don't let Satan steal all the wonderful blessings from you by not tithing. Don't let him tempt you out of that. See, Satan presents the test. "There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man." And listen, folks, when you know, just like everybody's nodding their head, and I thought about some of us, Satan knows our weakest areas of our life. He knows where to tempt us. He knows where to get at our weak spot. Heads were nodding like this. Then what we need to do is stay out of Satan's strongholds. Amen? Stay out of Satan's strongholds. Don't go places. That's one of his strongholds. Now, I don't think I have to explain what a stronghold is to you. Amen? Very honestly, I don't even like to drive through a drive-through. Now, I'm not telling everybody here don't dare drive through a drive-through. It's a big sin. But I just feel like that I'm violating the appearance of evil. Most people that drive through a drive-through don't get Pepsi. You agree with that? Amen? Okay, you agree with me, but that's not what I think. I've never seen a drive-through yet that didn't sell hooch. Amen? Beer, or whatever you want to call it. But we need to stay away from Satan's strongholds. Satan tempts us through our minds, my friends, and then through the flesh. It's right here is where Satan starts tempting us, right here in our minds. That's where it all starts. And then we start lusting if we're not careful. And remember, temptation is not sin. And I'm glad to know that. And I'm glad to know that when Satan works on me about something through temptation, that it's not sin. But when I give in to that temptation, when I agree to that temptation, when I set out to do that temptation, when I dwell on that, work it over my head and over and think about it, think about the pleasure I get out of doing that, I have sinned already before I did it. Go with me, if you would, please, back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, please. Look with me at James chapter number 1. And I want you to look with me at verse number 12. James 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man, what's that next word? That what? Endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. God says he's going to bless us, amen, if we do what? Endure temptation. It is our responsibility to endure the temptation when it comes our way. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. God will never, ever tempt you with evil. God cannot do that. God absolutely cannot do that. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And it all starts, as I said, up here. And it turns into lust and enticement. Verse 15, but when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So we have a great responsibility to endure the time that Satan is tempting us. We just to say no to him. If you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at Satan. That's okay. It's okay to do that. It's okay to hate Satan and to hate what he stands for and what he does. You know, if we get our life lined up and hate what God hates and love what God loves, we do all right in this life. You know that? And you know, we have the Word of God right here that teaches us which to know and which to follow. Go with me, if you would, please, to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. Just a few of the many wonderful verses that I could use here tonight to encourage you as Satan presents the test that you might endure and come out victorious over temptation. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 11, please. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, I like that. You know, I was dead in sin before I got saved. But the moment I trusted Christ as my personal Savior, I've become alive in Christ. Amen. And because of His power in my life, I've become dead to sin. Look at verse number 13. Verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign. Or this, have control. Don't let sin have control. You know, when you think of reign, I think of my sister's horse on the farm. You know, you put a bridle on that, you had the reins, and you could really control which way that horse went sometimes. Now, that was the horse. He was stubborn. But you get what I mean. My sister may be listening to this tonight. I don't know. But let not sin, therefore, reign or have control in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. There is the key right there, folks. Yield ourselves unto God. Don't yield to Satan and sin, but yield to God. Now let me go on. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your instrument and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. And all the members is my legs, my mouth, my feet, my eyes, and my tongue, and so forth and so on. I'm talking about different parts of our body. We need to yield them to God and not use them as members dealing and dabbling and doing sinful things. Is that exactly what it's teaching us? Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And oh, what a wonderful verse that is, my friends, to think about that. That sin itself cannot have dominion over me. Why? Because I'm no longer under the law, but we're under grace, under the power of God that resides in us, called the Holy Spirit of God. Now look with me, please, at verse 15. What then shall we sin, because we're not under the law, but under grace? And of course, Paul is answering the Romans here and some thoughts and questions they had. And it's a wonderful, wonderful application to us as well. Great spiritual truth for us, doctrinal truth as well. But under grace, God forbid that we would go back under the law and sin because we're in grace. God forbid that we would do that. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Which is it we're obeying? Are we constantly obeying sin unto death in our life? Or are we obeying righteousness, obeying God, obedience to the Word of God, obedience to the teachings of the Word of God, obedience to the truth that we know of how we should live as Christians? Verse 17, but God be thanked, oh, I love this, that ye were the servants of sin. I love that word in that were. Amen? That's in the past tense, folks. But thank God that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, verse 18, being then made, what is that next word? Oh, I can't hear you tonight. Aren't you excited about what God's done for you? Look again at that. Being made what? I'm still not happy with that. I hear it over here, but I don't hear much over here. Come on, folks. We're now made what?
Free.
Free. Praise God. We finally shouted it out, didn't we? We've been made free, my friends, from sin, and we've become servants of righteousness. Do you know what that means? That means now that you and I are saved, when old Satan comes roaring in like a flood to tempt us, we can say no to sin because we've been set free. The Lord Jesus Christ has broken the chains of sin when we was bonded by that chain that we used to have to obey, my friends, when we was in this world before we were saved. The devil had us chained up, but the Lord Jesus Christ broke that chain, set us free, and he gave us the power within us that we can say no to sin and say yes to Jesus and live a life that's pleasing to him. My friends, that's what I want to do till the day I die. Amen? I want to do that till the day I die. I don't want to die crooked. I don't want folks to talk bad about me after I'm gone and how bad I live my life. You know, friends, very honestly, people will not remember the good deeds that you've done if you go bad. You go bad, get mad at me, like preacher said, not like what Brother Mott said tonight, amen. Of course, he was just setting an example. But seriously, get mad, get out, quit church, and all that. You'll be known as a has-been. People will forget about the good things you used to do. They'll just say, well, they used to come to church, but boy, now, you know. And folks, that's true. And I've decided this. Doesn't matter how well you run the race. It's more important that you finish. Boy, I want to finish the race, folks. You know, I was saved 1969. Wife and I was both saved 1969. We was 25 years of age. And I tell you, and God has been so good to us. And boy, I tell you, I was within a hair jumping up this morning and shouting just on a message like tithing, because it reminded me of so many things that God has done for us, you know. And we're nobody, we're nothing. You know, and folks, it doesn't matter how big a tithe you have. That don't make a bit of difference with God. He isn't looking for a lot of money, but he wants to see you be faithful of at least 10% of what you get from him, no matter how little or how big it is. And God will thoroughly and wonderfully bless that. Awesome, marvelous verses to teach us. Yes, Satan's out there, and Satan's presenting the test. Now, Christ was tempted, you know, my friends, in every way that you and I are, but he did not yield to sin. And he needs to be our example. Real quickly, Hebrews chapter 4. I say quickly, as quick as I can get there. I know it'll be on the board. Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse number 14, please. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed under the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we might attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Oh, just think, Satan has already tempted Christ in every way that you and I have been tempted. There is no temptation but what Christ hasn't already won a victory over. And my friends, that's the whole reason that he could be the propitiation for us on the cross of Calvary and pay our price, because he was sinless. Satan had not a single hold upon him. All right, now let's move along here. Roman number 1 was Satan presents the test. Let's go back to verse 13. And I want you to look down where it says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So, Roman number 2, you perform your best. Now I'm going to get in deeper water here. A little bit deeper water. Some of you are going to disagree with me when I first start in this, but I think you'll come around and agree with me very quickly. That verse, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above which ye are able. Roman number 2, you perform your best. You perform your best. Now, wait a minute, preacher. I thought that we couldn't stand against Satan. I thought, preacher, that only Jesus could do that. I thought, preacher, that I have nothing good within me that I'm able to do anything good. Well, that's true before you were saved. But let me tell you, we've been saved and born again. And we've been coming to adult Bible study. Did I get that right? Well, we've been coming to Bible study. Some of us are adults. And I didn't mean that in any joking way. Just there's different classes. But, you know, I'm not the same person I was in 1969. I'm not the same person. Yes, and I'll agree with you there. Just this past week, and I'll tell you the truth now, my urologist said to me, "You know, Wayne," he says, "you are really a nice person." Did you hear that, Bill? Me either. But seriously, he did say, "You are really a nice person." And he said some other things about me. And I said to him, "Well, Dr. Waters, I didn't used to be a nice person." And I said, "If I'm nice today, I'm going to tell you why. Because in 1969, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And He changed my life. He didn't run out the door, but He looked at it. And He talked for just a little bit with me. And He smiled, shook my hand, He was gone. All my doctors shake my hand when I walk in. I taught them that. Amen? But it gave me a chance to do what? To witness. And put the truth out. I'm not the same person I was back then. And I've grown in the things of God. And over the years, I've matured more and more. And I've got a long ways to go yet, spiritually and even in the handling of the Word of God. But I'm not stupid to the wiles of Satan. I've grown enough, and I'm strong enough. I've been eating meat now for a long time. Some of you have too, in the Word of God. You're not babes. And I think God expects us, through the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us, that we need to learn to resist and learn when to shut Satan out of our life. Now, I don't mean we can do that without him, but I mean that we're mature enough, we can just do it. We can just do it. Look again now what that says. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted," what? "Above that you're able." That tells me that all of us have a level that we're able to be tempted and have victory over it. And you know, Satan will come at you with new things all the time. He really will. And new ways. And all of us have that. I'm not up here to tell you every which way Satan tempts me. You got your own garden variety of ways that he tempts you. But very honestly, a lot of things, I just say no and go on. I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't have to think about it. I mean, I just... Why? Well, I've been saved a long time. I ought to know something by now. Amen? Many Christians fail to perform their best because God doesn't have all of them. Let me say this. You cannot be half in church half the time and out of church the other half of the time and convince me that you're having victory over sin. Does anybody agree with that? You just can't do it. Listen, folks, you need to be out and out for Christ. My wife and I never discuss if we're going to church or Sunday school. We never discuss it. Never do. Years and years ago, we made the decision that we're going to be in church. And folks, I made that decision, my wife made that decision years before God called me to preach. We were just going to be faithful. You know, we don't have nothing much to offer God except faithfulness. And the power we have right now to just say no to the Satan is the power that he has put in us. It's the power of the Word of God that we've grown thereby. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in us that strengthens us. In Romans 8:16, every day, the Bible says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I just could tell Satan, "Hey, don't mess with me. I'm a child of the King. Just go leave me alone. I'm not listening to that." That's what you do, folks. That's what we all need to do our best for what God has put within us. In doing our best, we must resist. After all, James 4, 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I like that. Resist him. He'll flee from you. Resist is, I'm not going to listen to you. I resist what he says. I resist who he is. I resist him even being in my house. I just soon he'd leave. Amen? Resist him. Resist the devil. He'll leave you alone for a little bit. He's sneaky. He'll come back another way. He'll come back with another temptation. Resist him again. And again. And again. And again, my friends. And God will bless you. And you gain strength as a Christian to be able to stand against him. But you start giving in to those temptations, you lose power in a hurry. You lose power in a hurry. You know, I like to think of that as a fire. You know, how many of you like to sit around a campfire? Amen? Well, these folks next door, man, even in the winter, they're sitting out there around campfires. I like it, but not quite that much. But do you ever take a stick and roll it away from a coal, away from the other coals? What happens to it after a little bit? It goes from glow to dark. Then you ever take a stick and flip it back in, and it just starts glowing again. I look at that as being in church and serving God. And you get away from church, you get outside the power and the strength that's with other Christians. You know, we draw strength from each other. Do you know that? Not just learn from each other, we draw strength from each other. And we really do. And some of us, and you know, that's why Pastor has us all go pray and pray for folks and put hands on them. I tell you, you draw strength from that. You really do. It's something that's real. And we need to be faithful to the church that we can be victorious as a Christian. You cannot. Well, church is all right, but I can serve God right where I live. And you're a liar, too. Amen? See, that's awful strong. That's not as strong as what I could say, but I'll just leave it at that for right now. We can defeat Satan through prayer and the Word of God. Amen? Through prayer and the Word of God, we can defeat Satan. James 4:8 says, if you draw nigh to God, that he'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. But the first part of that verse is so true. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Every single time. Resist the devil, draw nigh to God, and he'll give you the power to be victorious. And I love the rest of that verse. Let's move on here to point number three. Point number three, I want you to look with me with the second but in that verse. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now I see this as other temptations, bigger temptations that come into our life. God has promised that when the temptations come in, that seems like it's more than we can bear. I bear them all week. You know, I've been victorious. And I've said no to Satan all week. Oh, but this is such a, oh, it looks so good. You know, and I turn to God, help me, God, help me. And God says he's going to help me. He's going to help me. He's going to provide a way out for me that I'll be able to bear it. Now, you know, no matter how ugly Satan shoots those darts at you, no matter how ugly the tribulations and the trials get in your life, always remember, before those darts ever hit you, God could turn them into good. And I've seen that happen over and over and over again. And I cannot glorify God enough for that. I've seen people mean something ugly to somebody else, and God would turn it into a wonderful blessing. And you know, God is the only one I know that can take something bad and meant for bad and turn it into good. Isn't God wonderful, folks, tonight? Can't you say He's just wonderful? Aren't you thrilled to be called a son or a daughter of God? And to know that as you resist the devil, as you flee to God, as you draw nigh to Him, even if Satan brings in some horrendous temptation and comes roaring upon you, I mean like a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking to devour you, that God will provide a way to escape, that you would be able to bear it. So, Roman number one was what? Oh my, let's try that again. Roman numeral number one was? That's better. Roman numeral number two?
You perform
your best. God provides the rest. Go with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. Oh, I love chapter 8 of Romans. It's my favorite chapter in the Bible. Romans chapter number 8, please. Look with me at verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Look at verse 37 now. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels or principalities nor powers, or things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Oh, how privileged we are, my friends, as we fight the battles in this life of the wicked darts of Satan and the awful temptations he tempts us with. You know, it would be horrifying to all of us if we all would take and write down the temptation right now that Satan is working on you the hardest and fold it up and we all put it in the offering plates and Pastor Lewis would stand up here and read them. It would shock some of you and all of you, I would hope, of some of the awful things that Satan is tempting, trying to get us to do. And you know, there are some temptations that is just for a moment. There's some temptations that are for a short time. And there's other temptations that Satan seems to keep knocking and knocking and knocking and hitting and hitting and hitting on the same temptation over and over and over again, hoping that he could break you down. But my friends, hold true to God. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. Seek His help. And my friends, He'd give us every single thing that we need. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. I'm almost done, if you're wondering. Chapter 3, but most of you don't want me to quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to draw your attention to verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, let me jump up to verse 2 for a little clarity, down through 5. Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are I got an old Bible, it's all messed up in places. Declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to God's word, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Now watch this, but our sufficiency is of God, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So you see, friends, our sufficiency is no place but in God. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2, please. And look with me at verse number 1. My little children, these things write unto you that ye, what's the next two words? That ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now I'm going to ask a simple question. Help me out. Does God want us to sin? Yes or no?
No,
He doesn't want us to sin. Fact is, it's the will of God that we sin not. But our problem is our flesh. That's our problem. That's my problem. And that's your problem. The problem is our flesh. And I'll never be sinless till I'm with Him. And then I can declare, from then on, I'll never, ever sin again. We got to lean on Him, friends. Lean on Him through this life. I certainly don't want any of you, my friends, to be a used-to-be and a has-been, as I was talking a little bit ago. How many of you know people right now that when I say that, you think of them? Used-to-be and has-beens. Yes, we all know people like that, don't we? And our hearts go out to them. And I pray that you and I will never, ever be called a used-to-be and a has-been. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. You know, we may wrestle with Satan. We may wrestle with the temptations that he sends our way. And we know as we resist and draw nigh to God, He'll raise a standard up against Him. Our God will do that, my friends. And someday you and I will fall at our feet and praise Him for it. Quite a few years ago, there was a young lady, a teenager, wasn't married, was tempted into what I call the scarlet sin. And because of that, she became pregnant. And because Roe v. Wade was approved 37 years ago on the 23rd of January of this month, I believe I have the dates right, she decided when Satan told her, just get rid of the kid, just get rid of it. And this morning, our Sunday school teacher, Brother Gene, had asked me to tell this story, and I know that a lot of people here don't know this story, so I'm going to tell it tonight as well. But he said this morning that if you go 2 miles that way, 2 miles, but 2 miles, but 2 miles, you could fill that up with babies that have been killed by abortion. You couldn't find a place to step where there wasn't a dead baby. Whew. I know that we've just now passed the 50 million mark in these 37 years. Brother Barry also said that you could line those babies up from New York to Los Angeles, and back again, and back again. Well, this girl decides she would get an abortion. Well, just so happens that my wife and I and our two boys was going to Florida because Mom and Dad had a place down there in the park, and we'd go down in February and take a couple weeks vacation, go down there. Whenever we go down there, they have a church service there in the park. They have one every Sunday morning early so folks can go to their churches. And whenever I go down there, of course, my dad, you know, bragged on me before I got there, before they met me, you know, they wanted me to preach, you know. Well, then after I've been there 2 or 3 years and preached, every time I go back, they want me to preach again. And I was always ready after I had my gun loaded, but I go around with my gun loaded anyway, but I'll make this pretty quick here, but it's so important to tell you. I preached one year, every year, a message on salvation, but a different way to go at it instead of preaching the very same message. But I'd always preach gospel message, give folks opportunity to get saved, folks raise their hand and receive Christ. This one year, I don't know how I did it, but I got off on abortion. I have no idea how I got off on abortion. I got upset with myself for getting off on abortion because there wasn't even anybody there could get pregnant. You can laugh, that's all right. But I decided since I was on it, I'd deal thoroughly with it, and I did. And then I got back to the gospel message, and I think there were 7 or 8 people received Christ there that day. 2 or 3 years later, I don't know the exact dates. I can't give you the exact dates. My dad's health was getting so bad that my mom and dad was selling out and coming home and not going back. And there was a lady my mom knew down the park a little ways, but, you know, just their circles really didn't cross much. This lady came up and says, "I just have to tell you something." She said, "Do you remember when your son was here and preached, and he preached that time on abortion?" My mom said, "Yeah." Wondering, gee, what's she want, you know? And she said, "You know, when he preached it, I had no idea that God said that in the Bible about life and that life begins at conception and all that. I had no idea about that. I didn't know God hated abortion." And she said, "I had a granddaughter who was getting ready to have an abortion, a young teenage girl." And she says, "I want you to know," now this was like a couple years ago, she's telling mom as they're leaving, "I want you to know, I got on the phone that day and I told my granddaughter, 'You're not going to have an abortion. If you don't want that baby, I'll take it.'" And she really told the granddaughter, "God hates that. That's a sin. I heard a preacher preach and blah, blah, blah," you know. And then, whew, she handed mom a picture. She said, "Show this to your son. His name is Charlie." Amen. Amen. Now, I know some of you heard that story before, but I felt so led to tell it again because many here didn't know that story. That's little Charlie. That's all I know. Don't know his last name. Don't know what state he's from. But I rejoice. Now, isn't God good? Now, I don't even know if that girl was saved or not, but Satan was leading her to get an abortion. But God provided a way for her to escape, and he used me. Now, folks, I don't care what the temptation. Joel, set that up there for me, will you, please? I want folks to look at that. You have to look at it close to appreciate it. But I don't care what it is that Satan is piling up against you. I don't care how bad he's run you down in the ground with this temptation, how bad off you are, how close you are to giving in to it. God will make a way for you to escape. Amen. He'll make a way for you to escape. I don't need this thing anyway. But you have to resist. You have to resist, my friends. And draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Let's all stand together, please.